The federal government this week released a landmark report. It comes out every 5 years. It's called the Intergenerational Report. I don't know how much you've heard about it, listener, this week, but it's certainly something that we should all be paying attention to. And this year, that IGR certainly has greater resonance for what's happening over coming years, obviously because of what we're all going through and continue to go through with the COVID-19 pandemic. I've got a man on the line who was very keen to talk to get his response to this intergenerational report. His name is Chris Evans. He's a professor of taxation at the University of New South Wales. Chris, welcome to the King Review.
Hi there.
Now, I just wanted to get your initial reaction, your initial thoughts on this landmark report. Obviously, that report talked a lot about or projected that Australia will have a lower base of younger people, will have possibly less tax being generated, and so that burden with an ageing population will be even greater on future generations over the next 30, 40 years. Your initial response to some of those findings?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting report in many ways. But I think what it does do is it says what we can expect over the next 40 years is much of the same as we've had. I mean, it takes into account the pandemic, obviously. It suggests that some economic growth is going to slow down. It doesn't mean it's going to stop, but it'll slow down because of reduced population growth. It talks about the budget improving over time, but still going to remain in deficit in the long term. But overall, it says that Australia is well placed to meet long-term challenges and its future risks and needs. So I'm sort of, I'm not at all depressed by what's in the intergenerational report.
Some people were a little more pessimistic than what you're saying, Chris. People, I guess, concerned about some major reform is required, and particularly around some of Australia's tax settings, which is exactly what I wanted to talk to you about. There are some suggestions that to address some of these long-term challenges, things like the personal income tax rates will need to be lifted. Your thoughts on where do you see or where do you think income tax rates should head over coming years and decades?
Yeah, it's definitely the case that we rely a little bit too heavily in Australia on the personal income tax. We're not that different from comparable developed nations. They tend to have a variety of personal income taxes, whereas ours is just the income tax we all know and love. I mean, so they have social security contributions, for example, which we in Australia, the New Zealanders, the Danish don't have, but all the other countries do have. So their take from income taxes, and particularly personal income taxes, is probably about the same as us. But it is high. It's about 60% of all of the tax revenue that's coming in. And so there's probably going to have to be some tweaking over time on that sort of what we call the tax mix, the extent to which we tax income, the extent to which we tax consumption or expenditure, and one that we don't tax very much at all in Australia, the extent to which we tax wealth, property, resources, those sorts of things.
Well, let's drill down into some of that. Chris, where do you think some of these lifts, these rises in taxes should be? I mean, there's been lots of debate over the years about multinational corporates not paying enough tax. Is that an area that we need to focus on? Do we need to, well, tax the rich, as some political parties like to talk about? What specific areas of the taxation system should we look at lifting or targeting? And then after that, I'd like to broach the topic of GST with you. But first, just some of those areas of tax that you think we need to look at.
Yeah, and certainly there are a few areas that we'd need to look at over the course of time. But we need, first of all, to put some perspective on it. The what we call the tax burden, the ratio of tax to our gross domestic product, has been fairly consistent over the years at around 24%. And it's actually lower than most of the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development countries, the OECD. So we sort of don't have a heavy tax burden. I think people often think in Australia we've got a particularly heavy tax burden. It's actually relatively, it's just below average, let's put it that way. But it's this tax mix that probably needs to be nuanced a bit more, because we do over-rely on the personal income tax. Yeah. So yes, corporate income tax, there's certainly some scope there, but it's not the panacea. It's not going to solve everything by just going after the multinationals. Mm-hmm. There may be a little bit more tax, and there are certainly a lot of international moves in that direction to capture a little bit of the tax that's currently escaping the net. So I'd be looking at that one. I'd be looking at wealth taxation. Now, interestingly, Australia got rid of those dreaded death taxes many, many years ago. But there is a space for them within an overall tax mix. It doesn't have to be significant, but it can be sufficient. So, for example, at the moment, we're one of the very few countries, you know, compared to the OECD, who don't tax inheritances. So a tax on inheritances would be a possibility. I don't think we want taxes on net wealth, which is another form of wealth taxation. And we could bring in those so-called death taxes in a very simple way by just adjusting our capital gains tax so that it got charged when people died.
It would be a very brave politician to raise the specter of death taxes.
But there's a wonderful old adage, and that's the dead don't vote. At least they shouldn't.
Their families do, however.
The beneficiaries do.
The beneficiaries do. Now, look, I'm speaking here with Chris Evans. He's a professor of taxation from the University of New South Wales. Chris, let's have a look at the issue of the GST. I'm reading here that Australia ranks equal lowest with Switzerland of all countries. We rank equal lowest with Switzerland for raising revenue from value-added taxes, for example, the 10% goods and services tax. GST, they're saying here, makes up about 11.7% of total tax revenue. So as you said, that personal income tax, you said about 60% mark of our total tax take. The GST is about 11, 12%. Should we raise the level of GST in this country?
Okay. It's not a popular one to say yes, but probably it is not performing. It's not lifting as much of the burden as it could be doing at the moment. The difficulty is, of course, that first of all, you have to get the agreement of the state as well as the federal government to change that rate of GST. It might be easier, rather than changing the rate, to actually change the base. That's the other way you can raise more revenue, by bringing more things into the GST net. But the other big problem with a GST, with a VAT, is that it is regressive. It's more painful for those on lower incomes than it is on higher incomes. And if you do change either the rate or the base of GST, if you do make that GST do a bit more of the heavy work, then you have to be able to recognize that there needs to be compensation for those in society who would be significantly worse off as a result of those changes. So it can be done. It probably should be done. It's not a major change. I mean, you know, 10% to 12.5%, if everybody could agree, or changes to the base. But it probably should be done.
I guess just to wrap up here, Chris, as this intergenerational report spoke about, that we will have, I guess, an aging population, we'll have less people in the workforce, and this is looking 30, 40 years into the future. Are you concerned about our ability to pay the bills, for governments to pay the bills over that long term? There's been some debate about, at the moment, we've had this forced experiment. I spoke about this on the show last week. We've had this forced experiment of closing our borders and shutting off international migration. Migration has all, particularly skilled migrants, has always been a great economic driver for Australia, but we haven't had that for over 12 months, 18 months or so. This mix about how we can afford to, you know, pay the bills as a government going forward. Are you concerned about our ability to raise enough revenue over the long term?
I think slight concern would probably be where I'd be at. I'm not overly pessimistic about it. When you drill down into the intergenerational report, you notice that the number of workers per retiree actually hasn't changed since 2015. It's still 2.7 to 1. So although we do have an aging population, and although the situation will not be helped if we're not able to bring in those skilled migrants, I still think that with a suitable tweaking of the tax mix, that we'll still be able to generate the sort of revenue that will ensure that Australia continues to be the sort of country that it's comfortable to live in.
Well, given some of the blame shifting, some of the finger pointing we've seen between the states and the feds, it's going to be a difficult task for any political party of any stripe in government to even tweak, as you suggest, even just to tweak the tax system. It's such a dirty word in politics, but it absolutely needs to happen. We need to have an honest and you know, reasoned debate about tax in this country going forward. So I really appreciate your insights, Chris Evans from University of New South Wales, on today's show. Thank you.
My pleasure. Good to speak to you.